AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Hey everyone, you're listening to AM 790, your source for talk and business. This is Andrew Doig, filling in for Bronwyn Dannenfelser, and I've got a couple of excellent guests with me tonight. We've got John Waugh, a regular videographer here at Waterfire Providence, and we've got Tim Blankenship, our social media manager. For the first half of the program, I want to talk to John about his video experience here at Waterfire Providence. So, John, can you tell us how long you've been volunteering with Waterfire?
Sure. Andy, thanks for inviting me to be here today. I've been volunteering with Waterfire since 2007. And the first few years, I was primarily either on the boat or on shore. And then the past 5 years, I've been able to help out with videography, actually recording the event.
So I rely on John to do the most difficult assignments. He really knows how the event goes down. And I wanted to ask him, what keeps bringing John back to record Waterfire event after event, year after year?
Well, I think, first of all, I would say that Waterfire itself is just something so special in Providence. And so I think the event itself is what keeps me coming back as a volunteer. And then as far as the videography aspect of it, there's just always, first of all, it's a beautiful event, a very moving, powerful event, and something that never gets tiring to film. There's always something new. There's always some new aspect or some new element, some new procession or celebration involved with it, so it's always new, always changing. It's still, like you said, very challenging, and so there's always, you know, something new, something to learn each time.
Well, and if you're interested in learning how to do videography, especially event videography, I welcome you to send me an email at andrew.doig@waterfire.org, because volunteering at Waterfire is great for yourself, developing your skills. It's great for the community to share with everyone the amazing things that we do at Waterfire. And as you've just heard from John, it's also just a great time and an opportunity to visit something beautiful. John, I know you're an independent filmmaker in Providence in Rhode Island, and I've actually seen two of your films at screenings. And I was wondering if you could tell us about some of your experiences with the 48-hour film festival, is it?
Right. So several years ago, I actually met some people connected with Waterfire who started a production company that does live theater and short films called Four Frogs Productions. And they've been involved now for several years with the 48-hour film project, which is it's a worldwide project now in over 100 cities around the world. And here in Providence, it's usually held during the summer. And the basic idea is that you get a team of people together to create I believe it's 4 to 7 minute short film within 48 hours.
That's not a lot of time to make a film.
It's not a lot of time to do anything, really, but it's a lot of fun. So basically, at the beginning of that 48-hour time period, you will randomly be assigned a genre. And then every team in a city will get a character, one line of dialogue, and one prop that has to be in the film. And then you basically have 48 hours to write the film, shoot it, edit it, and deliver it to the judges.
So at the end of one of these 48-hour film festival production weekends, how do you feel?
Exhausted. So what our team typically does is, once the film has been turned in to the judges, we meet back at someone's house together, watch the film. Usually we'll watch it several times, because we're a lot of the times laughing throughout the first screening of it. So we'll watch it, kind of spend a little bit of more time together, and then go home and crash.
So in Providence, there's also a couple of recurring film events that I encourage a lot of people to go to. It's the Rhode Island Film Collaborative Discussion. It occurs every Monday at 6:30 down at the Rhode Island Social Club, Providence Social Club, excuse me. And it's an opportunity, if you're in the local filmmaking industry, to come and meet new people and talk about filmmaking in the state. And John, have you ever gone to one of the Rhode Island Film Collaborative Discussions?
I have not, no.
I totally recommend them for anybody who's interested in coming to them. Can you tell us about some other film projects that you've done with Waterfire. I'm thinking the Singapore experience.
That I think that was 2 or 3 years ago.
Three years ago, maybe.
So that was again going back to the something always changing and being new with Waterfire. For that particular event, we had a fire actually in Singapore. I believe it started in Singapore, and then through Skype they transmitted the flame kind of electronically to Providence, and we had a laptop screen showing the Skype feed here in Providence, lit a torch here in Providence, lit the fire here at the Providence lighting, and then did the same thing, kept it burning overnight, and then transmitted it back to Singapore. They had back-to-back lightings that night there. So that was a really unique experience.
It's an amazing thing, and it wouldn't have been possible without you, without other volunteers, and it's something that I've never seen before, something that's taking part on different halves of the globe at once. Really a unique event. Do you have a film project right now that you're working on that you'd like to share with us?
Well, something else Waterfire-related that I've been able to be a part of is out in western Pennsylvania, a town called Sharon, Pennsylvania. They have actually been doing Waterfire out there now for 3 years. So I went out there for the first two fires back in 2013 to film their fires there, and then went back again this year to film one of their fires in September. So what I'm hoping to do is kind of look at putting together some type of project, just showing the impact that Waterfire can have on a community, on a small town like that.
So in the years that you've been going to see the Waterfire Sharon event, what kind of evolution have you seen in the town?
The town itself has made a remarkable transformation as far as businesses and artists, boutiques, restaurants in the downtown core. So I think Waterfire has definitely had a big part in that, kind of like it has here in Providence as well. So it's neat to see that something that we all experienced here and know about can be replicated somewhere else, and to see that happen at the ground level is really, really interesting.
I love to hear that, because it's a testament to the power that Waterfire has to really do good in the community. You know, it's easy to look at what might have been a phenomenon that is Providence, but the fact that it occurs in other places as soon as we bring the event out there is wonderful.
Exactly, and to see the people's excitement about it once they see it and understand what it really is, and just to see them embrace it and make it their own. It's, you know, something not where people from Providence have gone and made it exactly like what we have here. They make it their own. They bring their own perspective to it.
Well, what's different about a Waterfire Sharon event from a Waterfire Providence event?
Physically, I would say one thing that's different is in a lot of places where the walkways and the roads are, where the people are gathering to watch Waterfire, it's much at a much higher elevation. So I think the interaction with the fire is a little bit different. And something that they do out there, they also have art vendors and food vendors, different local companies and people coming in to set up booths, similar to what we have here with the arts fair at Waterfire. But they do it on a much larger scale. They have many more of those type of artists involved all throughout the downtown. They shut basically the whole 3, 4, 5-block section of downtown off and have that set up.
It might be something to think about here. We're coming up on a break soon, so I wanted to share something called the Short Story Film Festival, occurring at AS 220, the 150 Empire Street location. 3 p.m. this Saturday, the Short Film Festival has two different programs, and films that are animated and live action and share important stories throughout the world. The first one is going to be about pulling on your heartstrings, an emotional program, and the second is more fanciful, and it might be a little bit bizarre, and that's the... And that's the second half of their program at the AS220 Short Film Festival. That's Tony Panaccio's work from Emerging Arts, and I love her shows, and it'd be great to see you down there this Saturday. You're listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island on AM 790, your station for talk and business. I'm sitting here with John Waugh and Tim Blankenship. Now, from following up on our previous conversation, Tim has a couple of thoughts about our Waterfire experience and how it differs from location to location. Waterfire Sharon versus Waterfire Providence.
Yeah, it was just John had left off talking a little bit about how Waterfire in Sharon, Pennsylvania sort of differs a bit from what we have going on here in Providence, and just how, you know, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know this, but, you know, Waterfire has taken place in about half a dozen different cities in the U.S., as well as Singapore, as John mentioned, and also in Rome and in 2012. So, you know, and I've had the privilege, you know, go on a couple of these trips and see how Waterfire works in different cities. And, you know, I think one of the remarkable things about it is how it sort of allows itself to work itself into sort of the fabric of the community. Mm. It takes on, you know, obviously the different physical characteristics of different rivers and different cities and different street layouts, but also sort of, you know, different economic models that are available in you know, smaller venues and larger venues. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes it such a transformative work of art, is that it, you know, it does what you need it to do. So, and I think in Sharon's case, it was sort of, you know, came in at the right time to prove that people are still interested in coming out into this small downtown area and having a good time. And it did very similar things in Providence, but, you know, it did them on a slightly different scale.
Are we thinking about expanding Waterfire to other places? We're always looking for opportunities. I think we've got one in Long Island that we've been talking about, but hopefully we'd be able to do the same thing, adapt it to that situation and make it work.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, the way things work in Providence is not necessarily going to work everywhere Waterfire wants to go. And, you know, it's the kind of thing Barnaby is sort of always ready and willing to export Waterfire wherever anyone is interested in you know, importing it. And so, yeah, I would think that, you know, the site in Long Island is quite different than the site in either Sharon or in Providence. So it's gonna take on the characteristics of the town, and it's gonna, you know, I don't know exactly, I haven't been to the Long Island site, but I would assume that whatever amenities or whatever, you know, infrastructure is already existing downtown is obviously gonna have a, you know, some significant impact into how Waterfire, I think they're calling it a Waterfire Riverhead. I think that, you know, that'll have some significant impact in how that event develops, and, you know, everything from the frequency, like how many times a year it's happening, to, you know, what is going to be available as far as additional onshore events.
Well, it's the logistical concerns also make me think of some logistical concerns we have here in Providence, and how we're looking to create a base of operations that allows us to grow. We've been creating a Waterfire Arts Center in the Valley Olneyville neighborhood. And as we look to its future, we also look at some immediate needs that we have for the building. And that includes some windows for our space. So Giving Tuesday is coming up, which is it's a companion. What is Giving Tuesday, Tim?
Giving Tuesday is a... it's a response to, you know, everyone, I think, who, you know, lives in America is probably familiar with a day that's coming up this Friday, which is Black Friday, which is, you know,
a scrum, really, for whatever.
Yeah, which is just a great way to, you know, go spend a lot of money and buy a lot of stuff. So it's the national shopping day. It's the day where theoretically
great sales, if you're looking for them.
Get the sales, you get, you know. You know, so then Black Friday, and then something that came out a few years ago with the advent of online shopping, we named the following Monday as Cyber Monday. So everyone's back at work, and instead of working, they're on Amazon, you know, buying whatever they need. And so the idea was to create a day which was not about buying, which was actually about giving back. So this started, this will be the fourth year that it's happened. It started with the 92nd Street Y in New York. They came up with this idea, and it's grown from just a, you know, a few groups, you know, in New York doing this to a sort of a national and even an international. I mean, it's the kind of thing where the idea of giving back is sort of universal. So even in countries where, you know, Black Friday doesn't exist, this Giving Tuesday idea has spread. And the idea is a day for supporting community groups, supporting nonprofits, supporting the arts, supporting things that are supporting the social good.
Well, you know, Waterfire is always promoting the social good, and it's always looking for donations and support. But we're looking to channel in a more specific direction for Giving Tuesday. Can you tell us about this Lead in the Light campaign?
Yeah, the Lead in the Light campaign is what we're the campaign that we're pushing this year for Giving Tuesday, and it's you know, as Andy mentioned, we've been working on or working in or working out of or getting ready at the Waterfire Arts Center. It's a new development in the Waterfire, the life of Waterfire as an event in Providence. So it's an old building. It's on Valley Street in Providence. Most recently, it was the Capitol Records storage building. Now it's just a big empty warehouse, and we're just beginning with construction, and one of the first stages of construction is environmental abatement, and during that, they are removing all of the old windows in the building because they're very old and they were caulked with asbestos, so we obviously can't have that in the new building. So we're getting all new windows, and we're trying to defray the cost of putting them in a little bit by hopefully getting all of our friends and supporters to back us on Giving Tuesday.
Well, I love the idea because Waterfire is a great deal of the installations about light. It's about casting a new light in the city, about showing and casting a light on our friends and family together in one space. And we're trying to let light into an area that used to be dark, is now dark, and that we want to bring to life and use to share light with even more people. And if I'm interested in doing that and in giving light to others, where would I go about doing that?
You can find out more about it at waterfire.org/givingtuesday. You know, you can find out some background on the Giving Tuesday movement itself. You can find out more about the Arts Center. And then we are, like I said, we're trying to raise money for the windows. The total cost for us for replacing all 4,697 panes of glass in the building is about $1.2 million. Or $372 per window pane. So our goal on this Giving Tuesday is to hopefully raise 10% of that, which is still a very ambitious goal. So we're asking people to donate in increments of $37.20 as we're working to let the light in one pane at a time at the new Waterfire Arts Center.
And we actually went down to Kennedy Plaza about a week ago to share with the public this Lead in the Light campaign, to tell them about the Waterfire Arts Center. And we were shocked to learn that so many people who regularly attend Waterfire aren't familiar with a couple of the basic elements of it, the organization that operates it. So Waterfire has been in existence as a nonprofit 501c3, but we're privately funded, which means most of our funding doesn't come from the state or the city. It comes from individual donors and corporate sponsors, people like you who are listening now to keep the event rolling. And it also has a great impact on the community. We do things like create over 1,000 jobs through out-of-state spending, and we're able to activate the downtown area with its hotels, its dining, and its shopping in a way that no other event has yet proven able to do. We're excited, of course, about the International Arts Festival that's been experiencing its first recuperation period after we put it on for the first time this year in Providence. It was great. It happened to coincide with the Waterfire lighting, and we look forward to next year's. But oftentimes we are approached at events with people asking some of these questions, like, where does everything go after the event? And the honest answer to that is we have had to put it all over the city. So when we look towards the Waterfire Arts Center, the ability to place it all in one place, to have the team work together, and to be able to spread Waterfire to places like Sharon, to places hopefully like Long Island, are all things that we're going to have the opportunity to do with the Waterfire Arts Center. And we can only do that if we can see inside the building. So please consider on Giving Tuesday, giving to Waterfire Providence and letting us in some light.